Hello and welcome to the programme. You can visit the website anytime you like, rte.ie/Mooney. Well, we hope you enjoyed your bank holiday weekend. It all starts again tomorrow for most of us. So we're going to ease you into the week ahead with a repeat of a special documentary from our Nature on One series, which was broadcast earlier today here on RTE Radio 1. It's about the red fox on Madra Rua, or Shunnock. The programme is presented by Terry Flanagan. I'm just putting my microphone at the bedroom window because there's a fox calling outside.
There is an animal in Ireland that deeply divides people's emotions. Loved by some.
This is just incredible. If I waited around all day with my recorder in hand, I'd never get to hear a fox barking. But here it is, right outside my front door. I love it.
But considered as vermin by others.
Foxes are like marmite. You either love them or you hate them. Very few people are ambiguous towards foxes. Lots of people hate them.
Foxes are legally shot in their thousands every year due to the threat they cause to livestock and poultry. But they are grudgingly admired by others for their qualities of cunning and opportunism.
I have four chicken thighs. I have two slices of chicken steaks, three chicken gudgeons, and three dog treats.
Patsy Gibbons is a farmer who lives just outside Thomastown in County Kilkenny. Every night, for more than 20 years now, he's been feeding foxes on his land.
Every night, and no matter what I'll be going to the car tomorrow night, and it'll be 11 o'clock I'm going to get back.
Do they know you go to the cards on a Tuesday?
Oh, they do. They'll be waiting when I come back. Yeah.
Tell me about the treats you have here for them.
I get them in little there. Mm-hmm. And I cook them all. Because when I cook them, it's easier to put into the tablets for the worms and stuff that they might have.
So you actually worm them as well?
Yeah, worm them and give them yolks you can put in the food for fleas.
Right.
So if you give them the flea doses, they're very unlikely to get the mange, like, you know.
And what condition are these foxes in now?
You'll see in yourself now, yeah. You know.
Okay, well, let's go out and have a look then.
Yeah.
I'll follow you. Now, I have to be quiet.
Yeah.
So I let you do the walk and do the talk. And,
yeah.
And I just sit in the background so I don't disturb them. And you're bringing a torch with you as well.
No,
And we leave the dog in, is that right?
Yeah.
No. I hear him there.
Mind the step coming down there.
I'll let you lead.
Run.
Now we're just going out your front gate here. Are we going out onto the road?
Yeah.
Okay. Now we're just crossing the road. Mm. It's a very quiet road.
Yeah. They'll be waiting on me. See one there, look.
I see him in the field. I can see over there, this side. Yeah, I see a pair of eyes there. And is this another one here?
Yeah.
Over this side, look.
Yeah.
Down the little laneway there. There's one there. Yeah, he's coming up.
Man, quick! No, there's one there, look. One. There's another one. Two, three. Three there, anyway. Four. Another lad over there, look.
Man, quick! Quick!
No, you see them all, do you?
I do indeed, yeah. I'm going to stay quiet now, Patsy.
Come on, quick, come on.
I'm just going to pull back a little bit here to give the foxes a chance to come up because they probably won't come up if I'm here.
No, don't talk now for a minute. No, you see all four of them anyway, sir.
So there you have four of them now, Patsy. Four of them are up feeding here. And they're only, about 20 metres away from you. Do they come this close every night?
Oh, and they come closer, you know. They probably hear your voice.
They're beautiful-looking foxes, too.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very, very healthy-looking.
Yeah, but that's because I give them all the things that they should get, you know.
The vitamins and the
worm dose and flay those. I'll get the one things, like, you know.
I'm just looking at that big one there, too. Yeah. He's got a beautiful bushy tail.
Oh, yeah.
And the white at the end of it.
Yeah, the tail and the end of the big lad there.
Yeah.
The white part on it is about 5 inches long. When he would be up close now, if I was there on my own, he'd be up closer.
They're probably a little bit nervous because I'm here tonight.
Oh, yeah, they hear you talking, like, that's it.
But they're very tame.
Why?
I've never seen four or five foxes together as tame as that and close as that.
There were some nights, there were seven here.
Right.
Do you know? And I'd stay out here for ages watching, like, you know. But then you have to go in to let them eat the food, you know, because they can't let the one that ate it all.
I see. Yeah. So some of them are tamer than others.
They'll all come up now when I'll be there on my own, like. They'll probably hear your voice, you know, like, because they do, like, you know. Like, and often the fox will be off down the field and I'd start shouting them to come and they'll be up in a minute, like, you know. You want to, like, if they're down the end of the field and I was out there on my own feeding them, you want to see the speed of them coming up the field for the food, like. More than 50 quid a week feeding the foxes.
Really?
Yeah. The one looking over the field, look.
Yeah.
One there, look.
I can see that one there, yeah.
Like, and they'd be there, the dirtiest tonight. Like, I'd get the old waterproof coat on me to come out.
Yeah.
Come out to feed them. And be all there, sitting down, waiting. You know.
It must be great to see it, is it?
Nothing like it. You know. Like, where would you get it? You know.
Now we're just moving back into the house again, and we can still see them across the field there. There's one there.
Yeah.
I can see one there. There's the second one.
The other three are up to eating now.
Yeah.
He's sitting down. Look, come on, Bobby. Come on, get your food.
So that's the foxes fed then for tonight?
Yeah.
Well, all the best things are free, aren't they?
Yeah. That's what they say anyway, but sure they are free.
It was great to see them.
Yeah. You can always say yourself, Four foxes in Cullen Kill. Shut up, Joe.
The fox is the most widespread carnivore on Earth, found on every continent except Antarctica. The species we have in Ireland is the red fox, Vulpes vulpes.
Foxes are a very common species in Ireland. They're found in lots of different habitats and right across the island.
Dr. Colin Lawton is a senior lecturer in the University of Galway's School of Natural Sciences.
They are carnivores, so they predate on other mammals and birds and so on, but they're very omnivorous in their diet, so they'll eat basically anything and everything they can get hold of, which is part of their success and why they've been able to move into urban areas as well. They're also in a bit of an unusual circumstance in Ireland because in other countries across Europe where they'd be found, they wouldn't be the apex predator at the top of the trophic chain. They'd be a meso predator somewhere in the middle. But we don't have wolves, we don't have bears anymore. And so the foxes have kind of been left in this sort of higher position than they'd be found elsewhere. So they don't have much competition and they don't have anything else that's trying to predate on them as well.
So I presume that means that their numbers are going to increase.
Well, I mean, they've been here for so long, we wouldn't expect them to increase, but we certainly wouldn't expect them to decrease. They certainly don't have the threats that they would face in other places.
Although foxes are commonly seen and can be found in every county throughout the country, do we have any idea as to their total population here?
It's a very good question. As a question, we don't have an answer to. There's never been a census of fox densities across Ireland, as indeed there haven't been for a lot of mammal species. So we've no actual idea of the total number of foxes in Ireland.
Dave Wall is a scientist with the National Biodiversity Data Centre who has studied the red fox for many years now.
In terms of fox densities in the cities, we know they live at densities maybe four or five times higher or even more in cities than they do in rural areas. But again, we've no great hold on numbers. Is the number going up? Well, lots of people will always say, oh, the foxes are getting more and more and more popular or more prolific. I don't think so. I think foxes have always been here. They've always interacted with the suburbs in particular, I think what happens is within individual areas, fox densities fluctuate. So some years you have more foxes, some years you have less. Disease might break out and reduce the local population, or the local population might do well. In fact, your perspective of how many foxes are about can be affected by how close you are to the den. So if you're near to a den, if the den's in your back garden or your neighbour's back garden, you may get the impression there's loads of foxes because you're always seeing them. Whereas in fact, you're just next to a fox earth and you're seeing the local foxes. Whereas if the den is 10 gardens away, you might only see a fox once in a blue moon. So it's our perspective of what is happening to the local population versus actual numbers that differs. But I don't think there's any great evidence, certainly in the last few decades, that fox densities are going up and going down. But if you go back into James Fairley's book, The Irish Beast Book, he does describe a time in Ireland when fox densities were much, much lower. It was a time maybe when our farming practices were much more pernickety, if you like, that dead animals would have been immediately buried or removed. There's far less food available for foxes in the countryside. And he says that back in those times, you know, maybe 1800s or earlier, foxes may have been restricted maybe to upland areas or scrub areas rather than being found right across the countryside as we find them these days. But they were probably still doing quite well in the cities. And indeed, if you go back far enough, there was reports of urban wolves around the Dublin area back in the 1600s and before.
It does appear that our foxes are to be found at a higher density in cities than in rural areas. Currently, research is being undertaken in the University of Galway to establish the number of urban foxes.
My project is based in University of Galway, but we are looking into urban fox distribution in the 7 largest cities of Ireland. And basically, we're looking into their distribution and habitat use. What are foxes doing in the city? Why are they being drawn to the cities? And people's relationship with them. Like, do people consider them pests? Do they welcome them? Or are they indifferent? And using this online survey, we'll get public sightings from people and hopefully get an idea of what foxes are doing in our cities.
Jodie O'Regan is undertaking postgraduate research into fox populations in our cities. Part of this study involves feedback from the general public by means of a questionnaire, and she shared some of the results with me.
From the data so far, we're seeing foxes are widely distributed in cities. Some people might not have believed so before, but they are using urban areas for sources of food and shelter. They're sleeping in people's gardens during the day and they're hunting and foraging on the streets at night. They're especially abundant in Dublin. All over Dublin, people are seeing foxes both day and night. The survey is showing that they are widely distributed in these urban areas.
So foxes are more commonly seen now in daytime?
Well, they're definitely more active at night still, but I think people are seeing them more during the day, and that's just probably because there's more people in cities and more foxes are gradually moving to the cities, so that's just making them a more common occurrence. They are becoming more active during the day, though. We're definitely seeing that.
Why do you think they're moving more into urban areas now?
Foxes are opportunistic omnivores, which means they can eat virtually anything they get their hands on. So they can eat fruit and vegetables, meat, so they'll be hunting small mammals and birds, but they can also eat insects. They eat lots of insects, and they have been able to broaden their diet in urban areas by feeding on our disposed food. So they can eat whatever's left in bins or in compost. They even eat like the fruit in people's gardens. So because they are that capable of adaptation, they are really able to cope with an unpredictable environment, a constantly changing environment. As urbanization grows, food sources may suddenly change, but foxes are not very affected by that because they are able to eat anything that they find. So because of that, they're finding urban areas to be worth exploiting, as they can guarantee food there.
And what's the general feeling of people when they fill in this survey? Do they like foxes? Are they happy to have them in their gardens? Would they rather they're not there?
It was actually overwhelmingly positive. Majority of the records that I've gone through, people have considered foxes welcome in urban areas. There were very few people that said that they didn't want them there. Most of them are welcoming them. Some are indifferent. And then there's the handful of people that would consider them pests in urban areas, at least.
As pests, how do you mean?
I would say rummaging through their bins, making a mess, digging holes in gardens. That's the main complaint I have received, is people saying, how do I stop this fox from digging up my garden? Because they'd be digging holes.
Do they worry about the effect these foxes may have on their pets, the cats and dogs that they have?
Yeah, so that is another one of the major concerns that people have about foxes. They're like, are they going to hurt my animals? Will they hurt my cats? And the answer to that really is, it would surprise you that foxes and cats can cohabit a garden quite easily. A lot of people have actually shared footage and photos of their cats just hanging out with foxes in the garden. They seem to not really acknowledge each other. One lady did say that she often sees her cat and the fox running around playing in the garden, so that was quite interesting. So foxes being elusive and shy and non-confrontational, they don't really strike any sort of danger for pets. The only thing to be concerned of is more so disease.
Something like mange.
Yeah, mange could be something that they could pass to your pets, or dog roundworm.
With the results that you get back, have many said that the foxes look in poor condition?
It's been kind of half and half. Some people will say they look a bit scrawny, they look a bit unhealthy, but you have to remember that foxes, before they're fully grown, do look very scrawny. They have much shorter fur and skinnier faces, but that's not to say that there isn't foxes that are in poor condition out there. Like, mange is quite common, and like, foxes could get struck by a car and continue on. Like, some people have said they've seen a fox with a limp or missing an eye or having any cuts or anything, but a lot of them are generally saying that they're seeing a nice healthy fox in their garden, which is good to hear.
With large numbers of foxes and migration to busy city areas, it is inevitable that some foxes will be involved in accidents. So what happens to these injured animals? Dan Donaher is manager of the Kildare Wildlife Rescue Rehabilitation Centre.
Come on in, we're going to go into our mammal rehabilitation unit here.
This is new since the last time I was here.
Yes.
Oh, it's really nice. The first thing I must say is it's extremely warm.
Yes.
And I can see in front of me, not one fox, but I can see three foxes in one cage and one fox in another cage. Tell me a little bit about this fella here.
This individual one here came in after a road traffic accident. It was found in Dublin after being hit by a car. So she's been here a couple of weeks now and doing much better.
What is the most common reason why foxes come here?
Yeah, so we've had 144 foxes admitted in 2024.
Wow.
To us, which is a lot. So the main reason for a lot of them was road traffic accidents. Yeah, 90% of the foxes we take in are urban foxes. And generally it's because of road traffic accidents that they come in.
That's amazing that even though you're down the country here in County Kildare, 90% of the foxes that come in are actually urban foxes. So mostly from where? Is Dublin?
Dublin is the main, yeah, absolutely.
So people will actually bring the foxes down here to be rehabilitated?
Yeah, they absolutely do.
And what's the success rate then?
It pretty good. So the overall success rate is 40 to 50%.
Okay, yeah. What about, we just moved down here because you have here three foxes. Now, these are a lot more timid than that last guy we've seen.
Yeah, so these are three orphaned fox cubs that we have. They're the last of the ones. They came in a bit later on in the year and they had mange and just kind of underway parasites and stuff. So they're a lot more timid than
They are more timid, but they look very, very healthy because they're running around. They're jumping up and down the top of the cage and going back into it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, much healthier. And like I said, going to go back out to the wild now in the next few weeks as well.
You said 144 foxes in this year. How many have you left here now? Is it just these four?
Just four left, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so we'll probably see more foxes come in from now on during the winter because of, again, road traffic accidents.
Mm. You mentioned there 90% of the foxes here are urban foxes and 10% are rural foxes. Do you notice a difference between them?
Yeah, you can definitely, the behaviour is different and even some of their characteristics are actually different. I noticed the urban foxes I wouldn't say tamer, but they're definitely more relaxed around people. So when they come in, they're not as kind of frantic to get out and they just kind of basically chill out. They also seem to have rounder faces, I think. Maybe more dog-like, I think, compared to the rural foxes, which are very scared. When they come in, they hide a lot. They're more slender. Their faces are slender as well. So I can nearly, without even looking at the paperwork when they come in, what kind of, is it an urban fox or a rural fox?
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So,
what about mange? Is that a serious problem?
Yeah, we do see that. We see that a lot in the autumn time, where maybe individuals are struggling for food and maybe have other parasite issues, and then they get sick and the mange kind of starts to take over. But again, very curable, can be treated at early. It does create secondary problems though as it advances on the fox, so they can get kind of skin infections and that. And
you
that
said
can...
very curable. Are you saying curable by you here in a rehabilitation centre or by members of the general public?
Both, yeah. So if it's caught early, there is some medications, like herbal medications and stuff, that people can get and give to the foxes they're feeding.
But you're not talking about putting, say, antibiotics out in their food?
No, we wouldn't recommend. That we done through the vet. So if we see an animal that's with mange that needs to come in, we'll trap that. Our first responders will go out, bring the fox in, and then we'll treat with antibiotics and other medications prescribed by the vets. But yeah, we don't recommend people doing that at home.
144 foxes in the sanctuary this year. That seems a huge number. Is that number increasing or decreasing over the last, wait, say, 10 years or so?
I guess I've been doing this a long time and it's definitely increasing. Again, urban foxes are definitely increasing. But that could be, again, more about awareness rather than population increase.
So it's the people that are seeing them want to do something about it rather than there being more foxes injured on the roads.
Yeah, exactly. And I think people's attitude towards wildlife has changed in the last few years. And it's great to see that people are interested and want to help. You know, because we're in a biodiversity crisis, the people are trying to do their bit to help wildlife.
It's interesting that Dan can tell urban and rural foxes apart. But is there really a difference? Dave Wall.
Well, you know, essentially no, they're the same thing. I mean, urban foxes have been recorded in Dublin since the 1800s or before the 1700s, I'm sure. As the suburbs expanded out from Dublin and other cities, the foxes just naturally interacted with those suburbs, and then they found that the habitats were to their liking, and wasn't it a great source of food and den sites for them. But as time goes on, there's been more and more studies into whether urbanisation is changing foxes in some way. There was a recent paper, actually, I was reading the other day, that maintained that there is some small change in the skull shape of urban foxes that can be detected, and they're linking it to the kind of changes you might expect where a species undergoes domestication. So maybe because the foxes are in close relationship with mankind, and maybe because they're getting used to our ways, and maybe because they're less nervous, or they're using less of their faculties for surviving predation. Of course, they've no predators really now, and finding food. Maybe those long-term interactions with humans in the suburbs is gradually altering them. But to essentially, to you and me, if you look at a fox from the country and you look at a fox from the city, you'll see very little difference. They're the same animal.
Are the urban foxes befriending humans, whereas country foxes would not be?
Befriending? Well, it depends. In some cases where humans feed foxes, urban foxes, they will befriend them. They become almost tame. We'd always, I suppose, suggest that that's not necessarily the best thing either for the human or for the fox, because the wariness of humans is of advantage to foxes because we're one of their few natural predators. But of course, country foxes can do the same thing. So rather than being friends with us, urban foxes become habituated to humans. The noise we make, the smell we make, the comings and goings in the cars, our activity around, more so than rural foxes, which would interact with humans far less.
Have they become very successful here in the city?
They haven't become very successful. They've always been very successful. One of the things that makes foxes so successful is that they've a very elastic diet. So they'll take full advantage of fruit if it's in season. They'll take full advantage of pet food if it's left out for your cat or dog. They'll take full advantage of finest chicken livers if you'd go to the butcher and buy it and leave it out for them. Or they'll take full advantage of roadkill or whatever else they find. So they're very successful that way. All they really need is plenty of food and a safe den site, and that's them. They're happy out.
You mentioned cats and dogs there. Are they a problem for domestic cats and dogs?
It's always a question that you get about urban foxes versus pets. If you have a dog, usually there's no problem because the dogs are well used to chasing off foxes. That's part of the interaction you'd expect, unless your dog's very small and fits in your pocket. If you have a cat, 9 times out of 10, or even 99 times out of 100, in cat-fox interactions, actually the cat wins because they're far more aggressive than your average urban fox. In some cases, there's some evidence that where a cat is very young or very old and sickly, there might be cases where foxes take advantage and might take a pet. If you have a hamster or a chicken, keep them caged up properly, because foxes will take every last one of them if you give them the opportunity. If you keep restocking your chicken pen or your rabbit hutch with rabbits or chickens, foxes will just view that as like going to Tesco. So the best thing there is develop very good fencing to keep out foxes and you won't have problems.
But that may be easier said than done. Gamekeepers need very large pens to house hundreds of young pheasants. If a wily fox manages to get into such a pen, he will kill all the birds in the pen. It must be utterly devastating to discover such carnage. This behaviour is referred to as surplus killing. But why do foxes partake in such actions? And how does it benefit the fox? Dr. Colin Lawton.
Well, surplus killing is something that we see in quite a lot of our predators. We also see it with mink and with pine marten to a certain extent. And what it is when they get the opportunity, they get into a chicken pen or something, and they, rather than just kill the one chicken that they were going to eat, they kill all of them in this, what seems to be like a frenzy of killing. But what they're actually doing would be a fairly natural behavior, where they opportunistically kill while they get the opportunity, and then they'll come back over a series of nights to gain the rewards. But of course, in the modern world, we're not just going to leave all these dead chickens there, so the fox doesn't get that reward from the surplus killing. So it's a behavior that they do, killing things while they've got the opportunity to do so, but they don't get the reward from it because the dead animals aren't going to be there over several nights.
And of course then this puts them in a very, very bad light when a gamekeeper comes along and finds 200 dead poults and the fox is gone. He may have only taken one.
Well, this is the thing. It's understandable why people would be so upset when they lose all of their animals all at once. But yes, it's the fox is doing what's a natural behaviour for it. Animals are like ourselves. They'll be lazy if they can get away with it. So we see it even with seals. Seals will go after fish that are in a net rather than trying to catch each one individually. They're going for the easy rewards. And when we group all of their prey together, they just think it's Christmas and that, you know, they've got all the opportunities to feed that they want.
So you can't blame the fox?
Well, it's just their natural behaviour, but equally you can't blame the gamekeeper for being very upset about it at the same time. It's just the way that the two things are clashing.
The fox is deeply embedded in our folklore, and there are many stories relating to the Shunnock. Naturalist and broadcaster Aina Ní Leabhna.
The Irish word for a fox is Shinnock, and there are some who say that the word shenanigans comes from this Irish word. Now, shenanigans is hopping about and leaping about and doing smart and clever things and having fun. And this apparently is a reflection of the fox itself, who is smart and clever and seems to be having lots of fun as well. There's an early Irish text that describes the three most harmful animals found in Ireland. There was the wolf, there was the fox, and there was the mouse, actually. That was the third most harmful one. It probably ate all the grain and things like that. But the skill of the fox, of course, the cunningness, the cleverness of the fox was also recognised. The animal could steal past the shepherds. the animal was difficult to, when you were hunting it, to follow its trail in a bank or a woodland, because the way the foxes walk, they have a very neat gait, and if you look at the foxes' trails, you don't see 4 feet, they walk on their own footprint, so the trail of a fox along is quite different. And of course the fox looks straight ahead and just catches in the left and the right with his eyes. So it is the way he moved and the way he saw was apparently a wonderful, elegant, light way to move. And the most famous horse of Finn McCool was told that his horse had the gait of a fox, and this was actually a compliment, to be so neat and light and masterful. So as a result, Irish folklore is full of stories about how the fox outwitted man. And these go way back to pre-Christian times. I mean, there was a king in Kildare once who had a pet fox, and this king was delighted with the pet fox, and the pet fox could do all kinds of tricks. And then some man didn't realise he was the king's pet fox and killed him. And the king was raging and he wanted to sentence him to death. And the poor man besought St. Bridget, who was the local saint around the place, to save him. And the next thing, didn't this wild fox appear up beside St. Bridget? And St. Bridget and the fox went off to the king, and the fox was able to do the divil and all with all kinds of tricks, wonderful tricks, nearly better than the first fox. So the king was delighted and the man was let go. And it wasn't a wet week later when the fox that had gone to the king skedaddled off himself, and the king ended up with neither fox nor dead man or anything. So he was outwitted by a smart fox.
And the fox had an ingenious method of getting rid of fleas.
They take a big lump of moss, probably sphagnum or something like that, into their mouth, and then the fox reverses back into the river or into a pond, I suppose. And as he gets into the water, the fleas all come towards him, because the fleas don't want to be drowned, and they come up towards his head, and then they all jump onto the moss. Then the fox dumps the moss in the water and is...
He swims away.
He's free of all his fleas. So this is very clever. But not only is the fox good at curing himself, apparently bits of the fox were very good for curing ailments of humans. And there's great ones. One cure for infertility for a woman, you'll be glad to know, she was to sprinkle sugar on the testicles of a fox and roast them in the oven. I presume she'd have taken them off the fox by this stage. She should then eat the testicles before her main meal for 3 days in succession, and that would fix her. Mother of God, I mean, the smell of a fox is bad enough, but can you imagine what a roasted testicles would smell like? Now, how do you think of that? Would you rather be infertile? I don't know, I think I might decide, if God had decided I was infertile, I don't think I'd be putting sugar on a fox's goodies.
And what about the fox calls? Sure, that must have frightened the life out of everyone.
Well, yeah, well, the foxes, of course, have a, particularly in the winter time when they're mating. But the foxes in County Meath, the big landed gentry up from where I lived in Louth, the Prestons in Gormanstown, they were associated with foxes, and the foxes would come and make these calls in the grounds of Gormanstown when somebody was going to die. And this was well known, and I mean, I remember knowing this growing up. And when the last of them was on his last legs, foxes came and they gathered in the grounds and they made the noise, and sure enough, fortnight later he was Hampshire Cotcha. And of course they're gone now, and the thing was sold to be a secondary school and all the rest of it. But they were very much associated with the foxes, and the foxes, like a banshee, I suppose, in other iterations. But here it was definitely the fox.
People start hearing strange sounds in the neighbourhood. These sounds can be like a lady screaming or a child crying. And quite often these generate reports to the guards. I had one case where a taxi driver told me he was out and about driving around the taxi, and the next thing he got a phone call from his wife that there was a child being attacked in her garden. So she put out the call and he got all his local taxi drive buddies to drive up to the house because he was on the far side of the city. They all screeched up to the door, ran into the back garden, and there was a fox in a full crescendo screaming its head off. Very eerie calls, and you can imagine that fox calls, especially anywhere people were living, would have been given rise to the kind of stories of banshees and ghosts and goblins in the woods, because it's a very unearthly cry when you hear it.
Occasionally, people take in orphaned or injured foxes.
A girl found them on the road in Burris. A cousin of mine brought them over to me here. And said they had to have a go at rearing them.
Patsy Gibbons is an animal lover who never set out to have a pet fox. But all that changed when more than 20 years ago, he was called upon to help with a young injured fox, which he then took in and reared. And this close relationship with the fox enabled him to learn more about their behaviour.
As I got there, the vet came over and looked at him, and he wasn't giving him much hope. And I started feeding him anyway. Every 2 hours, day and night, I fed him. I had a little syringe that I had to get the milk down his neck. And I had to get the special milk for him, like. And after about 3 weeks, he stopped drinking the milk. He wouldn't drink milk at all. He started drinking water. And after that, you know, I never had to give him milk. But I started giving him small bits of food. Oh, I started eating. And, like, I wasn't long learning that he had teeth. You know, he'd be looking for the food the whole time. But he was great to eat. Oh, great, altogether. And I had him in the bed from the day I got him, anyway. He'd be lying there, as if, like, very good, fast asleep, and he'd never wet the bed or anything. And he'd be lying there, and I'd be rubbing him, and next thing he kind of go asleep. It's kind of half snoring, but not, you know. And he'd go off then, and half 5 in the morning, you could set the clock for him. He starts just prouncing on me. And with the forepaws, and he'd keep that going for half an hour, and next thing he'd stop and go back to sleep. He'd come into bed, he'd lie on the pillow, and he'd have rest his head on my head, which was like, I never knew the fox would do that. I'll tell you something interesting about the foxes. I'd say hardly anyone but knew about. But when I was going to be going over the field with the fox, and I'd be going to have a piddle, I'd stand or go into the ditch and be having the piddle, and the fox would stand up and with his paws on the ditch, and the very same as what I would be doing.
So if you were peeing, the fox would be peeing beside you.
Yeah, and like if we had to do it 2 or 3 times in on the walk that I'd be going, he'd do the same. Every time I'd have that fiddle, the fox would put his leg paws up on the ditch and fiddle. You just have to laugh at him, like, you know. But half 5 in the morning, when he'd be in the bed with me, he has to play. Half 5 every morning, you could set the clock for him. He'd start. Do you ever see the way foxes would be jumping on their food?
Yeah.
And, yes. And the snow. And he'd be like that and be jumping on you, playing with you. Like, it's amazing, like and he'd do that for half an hour, and then he'd lie down and go to sleep again. Yeah.
I've lost count of the number of times I've been driving home at night and noticed a fox on the side of the road, just allowing cars to pass.
As the urban sprawl continues and we encroach into the domain of wild animals, our paths are bound to cross. Derek Mooney.
I'm very lucky in that where I live in South Dublin, my house backs on to a farm. And over the wall at the rear of my garden, there is a fox's den. And I've seen them in my garden because I've got a granite patio at the very back. And they just sit there on sunny days and soak up the heat. They love it, absolutely love it. But I've never fed them, and I never will. I do feed the birds, but I'd never feed the foxes. I reckon they can look after themselves.
Derek raises an interesting question. Should we feed wild animals? Dave Wall.
You can feed urban foxes. Whether you do or not probably makes very little difference to the fox. If you do decide to feed foxes, and most people feed them, some people feed them because they feel sorry for them. Some people feed them because they want to see them better, so they want to attract them maybe a bit towards the house. I would be wary of attracting them too close to the house. Foxes are very nosy, very inquisitive. If you start feeding foxes on your patio and you leave the back door open, there have been several cases where foxes have entered the house, got a fright, shot up 3 flights of stairs and ended up in the attic, and it's been 2 weeks later before they've been got out again. So generally, if you're going to feed foxes, the advice is feed them away from the house, but somewhere you can see them, obviously, because that's what people want to do. Feed them meat. Raw meat is probably the best product, but they'll eat almost anything you offer them. don't overfeed them, because you're not going to be the only person feeding those foxes in the neighbourhood. There's probably several other neighbours feeding them, or they're availing of pet food, etc., in other houses. So you can feed them, but don't worry about them starving to death, because they'll not. They'll have plenty of food as they forage around the local neighbourhood. So if you feed them, just be careful how you do it. If you don't want to feed them, don't worry about them.
About 20 years ago, maybe it's a little longer now, Dublin went from plastic bags to wheelie bins. And I remember people at the time saying to me, oh, the foxes are going to be in trouble because where they can rummage in a plastic bag, they won't be able to get into a wheelie bin. Was there any truth in that?
There was. There was much consternation at the time. I remember people saying, oh, foxes will all starve to death and the roads will be covered in dead foxes, having not been able to grab their dinner for the night. There's no doubt that when the bins were plastic bags, foxes made hay while the sun shone. They would rip open the bags, they would forage in what was in them. But the fox has a very plastic diet, so it can cope with changes in food availability very well. So when the bins suddenly became these tall plastic things that they couldn't get into, they just would avail of whatever else was around. So when the bins were plastic bags, they'd forage on the meat and chicken and burgers in the plastic bags. When that wasn't available, then they would spend more time foraging for insects and earthworms and beetle grubs and things like that across vast swathes of Dublin's grassy areas. And they'd still get the nutrition they required. It might have taken them more effort and more energy, but it had very little impact on the fox population in general.
Not all city folk leave out food in the hope of catching a glimpse of a wild animal.
There he is. I told you he would be here.
Oh, I can see him. He's a beauty. I presume it's a he because he's got this beautiful bushy tail and he's in fantastic condition. And we're looking at him there just in the sunlight as the sun is disappearing. You would imagine that that's a male fox.
It looked like a male. It was quite big, so yeah. it's likely it's a log fox. And yeah, it's absolutely stunning. The colour of the forest, phenomenal.
Gustavo Zolaz lives in Dublin and spends a lot of his spare time travelling around the city on the lookout for wildlife. On a late autumn evening, he brought me to the banks of the River Dodder to watch urban foxes.
The family has been here for I don't know how many years. They breed nearly every year. In total, I think this year they had 3 or 4 cubs. And actually, if you come in at late spring, early summer, and if you're lucky and you keep an eye, you might have a chance to see the cubs.
I'm just looking at that guy that's there. He's very, I'd almost use the word tame.
Yes, I think he feels very safe where he is. Mm-hmm. You can see people cannot access there, cannot legally access there. So that's his place. So as long as people don't invade their territory, mm-hmm. and they go into a territory that where he feels safe, he's going to be okay. He watches going by, same as we watch him.
Well, of course he's safe because he's on the far side of the river. We're on the roadside and there's the river between him and us. So with people walking by here, there are people running, there are people out on with their dogs. The foxes, they just don't seem to take any notice.
They see that every day and they are used to seeing people on this side of the road. So as long as people don't go to places where the foxes are not used to seeing them, they have no concern.
A lot of people think of foxes as being nocturnal, yet here we are almost in the city centre. And it's late evening. There's still a lot of sunlight out there. And this guy's out. Oh, there's the second guy. I see a second one there now.
Yeah.
A little bit smaller, that one.
Yes, and there was some movement behind it. So I can guarantee there are others. They might or might not let us see them. But, no.
It's a little bit more nervous, that second one.
Yes, it could be one that has arrived recently.
Yeah.
Or it could be that this dog is dominant and it's keeping its distance as well. So it could be a number of reasons why the second one stays a little bit behind.
There are a number of houses here facing onto the Dodder. What do the locals living here, what do they think of the foxes?
I think that they find them entertaining. Chances are that some of them maybe feed them at some stage. But in general, they have been here for a long time. I don't think they cause, kind of dirt and mm-hmm. to people who live there. And a lot of people, like if you come here, a lot of locals during the day, they come and watch them. They like watching them and see what they do.
But I'm sure there are lots of people, because we're watching some of the runners here going by. I'm sure there are lots of people who run by here or cycle by here or walk by here who never ever see them.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And there are sometimes that they look for something or they ask you when you are watching them or they see you with the camera, so which are you looking? And then you mention and you just can't believe. They say, oh, I run here or I walk here every day or I've done this for years. And is it really a fox or is it really this species there? And it's really nice when you can point it out to them and it's the first time they see it. Yeah, a lot of people, they just go by, but they just don't pay attention to it.
And their reaction when they see it for the first time?
Oh, it's brilliant. It's one of my favorite places. When you can show someone a species they haven't seen before, they were not expecting to see, and sometimes in cases where they really wanted to see, the reaction is priceless.
And it's not only Gustavo that has a story to tell about foxes. While recording this documentary, a lady came up and asked, could she tell me of her experiences with An Madra Rua? Noreen Connell from Killorglan, County Kerry.
I like foxes and I have great respect for wildlife. Now, where I live, it's out in the countryside in Killorglan, County Kerry. And there was a farm that was unused and I did see the foxes and they did have a den there and I did see the younger foxes. So it was just out in the wilderness. Foxes are supposed to be very clever animals. Because they're Coglic Le Shinnok is a Shannock, as clever as a fox. And An Madra Rua, there's a Madra Rua, Rua, to Oran, my other Madra Rua, An Madra Rua, to Grana, An Madra Rua, and Rik to Clusha, Agus, a Baragaklus in Orda.
And they're into An Madra Rua, no one Shinnok. She's in Quintina Curry.
Dirmid and Gahyan, Aga Berlum's An Madra Rua.
Came for?
Martasha, Kazula Madra. Agus tá erbil an deasir. Agus tamáin an erbil é, bín an erbil an talaf.
And what about the farmers, the local farmers? How do they feel about the local fox?
Well, this fox was kind of, he just didn't interfere with any of the animals, you know, he was just kind of, I suppose, more, he only came out at night time and in the evening time. And there's hares and rabbits and all of that still living there, so he didn't hunt those, which was quite unusual.
But he must have hunted something.
No, maybe some rabbits, but not the hares, because there was only two hares there. Unless it was the birds, maybe the wild birds, you know. But I didn't see him doing any damage. Now, I haven't seen him in recent times, but when in the snow, I could see his paw prints on the snow. So I think they're alive and well. This is the country fox. I don't know anything about the city foxes, but they're cleverer than the Shinnok. Puyntu no marshin, ni nisigum marshin. Actually, I'm much gael sagus mata brega on biak ni misha cumla. Well, is misha a cumme mar shini anirna. Goramila magat.
The fox has a reputation for being cunning, but just how cunning are they? Dr. Colin Lawton.
Foxes seem to be domesticating, which is basically becoming more and more associated with humans. And part of this is that they've started to look cuter, for want of a better word. They're looking more like dogs, and the domed skull is part of that. It gives them a cuter appearance, and then they're more likely to be treated kindly and be given food in back gardens.
So they're evolving to be liked by humans.
That appears to be the way of it, that the ones that are cuter would be the ones more likely to get this extra food, and so they're becoming more and more like domestic dogs. They'd also be great problem solvers. They'd be able to get under gates. They'd be able to get into places that they're not supposed to go to. And again, that sort of intelligence has helped them adapt to an urban environment.
Are city foxes then smarter than country foxes?
Rather than being smarter, it's more that you would see that they're slightly different personalities. So when we talk about personalities in animals, it's generally talking about being reserved and shy or being bold. And we get different individuals, just like in humans. Some are bolder, some are less so. And the urban ones seem to be more these bolder ones that are taking chances, going into new areas, exploring gardens, taking a chance of going closer to explore what might be a new food source for them.
But they're not actually smarter.
Not necessarily smarter, just maybe a bit luckier and risk takers. Rather than intelligence, it's a sort of perseverance and taking the chance, the risk to try and get that reward.
We are encouraging the foxes to interact with us by feeding them. But do foxes exploit humans? Jodie O'Regan.
They do, yes. A lot of people are saying foxes come to my garden every day and I feed them, and they'll feed them all sorts of things between cat food, their own leftovers and scraps, and they're happy out with anything that they're offered, really. And if that's a guaranteed source of food, they're likely to be there every day.
And are these foxes then becoming tame in urban areas?
That's a current question and discussion, is are we taming foxes? And I think they are still wild animals. They're very much still wild, but they are becoming more tame around people. But it's less in the sense of dogs becoming domesticated. We domesticated dogs over time. But I think it might be more like cats, because cats domesticated themselves. They saw us as an exploitable source and they spent more time with us and they used us for food. So it's kind of a different evolutionary path that they've taken.
That's very subtle thinking by the fox then.
Yeah, no, they're very clever animals and they know what they want, and if they know how to get it, they'll do everything they can to get it. But it's less of a loyalty thing and more of a finding food situation.
Yeah, to get it, as you say, it's really only food they're interested in.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, if they're visiting you every day, they associate you with food, but it's not a connection that they are building with the people themselves. It's more the reliable resource.
Whereas the person who's feeding them may think that they're forging a kind of a friendship with the fox, and the fox is forging a friendship with them, but that's not really the case.
Oh, absolutely. Like, people will say, I have a pet fox, and it's just a wild animal that's coming in to eat in their garden. And that's not to discourage people from having this affectionate relationship with foxes. You just have to remember that they are wild animals, and they have all these wild instincts, and they may not think of you the way that you think of them.
My initial view of the Shunnock was that some people liked them and others despised them. I was of the opinion that city folk were more accommodating to foxes. But it seems that this is not quite the case. Dave Wall.
Foxes are like Marmite. You either love them or you hate them. Very few people are ambiguous towards foxes. Lots of people hate them because they're keen gardeners, and foxes, especially fox cubs in the spring and into the summer, love to dig up gardens. They'll dig up your lovely fine manicured lawn looking for insects. They'll create chaos in your flower beds while they dig, looking for things or bury toys that they found in your garden. They'll play havoc with your garden ornaments, etc., etc., etc. So lots of gardeners especially hate them, hate them, hate them. And as well as that, of course, they poo all over your garden to some degree. Whereas other people love them, can't get enough of them. They will feed them. I've had people tell me that they go to the butcher every week and they buy the finest fillets of chicken to feed the foxes in their back gardens, night in, night out. So it's interesting, because sometimes you'd get a phone call from one person giving you a half-hour lecture on how they hated the foxes and they wanted them moved, and then they give you details of where they were. And a couple of days later, you'd get a phone call from someone two doors up who loved them and was feeding them, and they were underneath our garden shed. And, you know, of course, we never spilt the beans, but these two neighbours, just a couple of doors down from each other, were dealing with the same issue in very different ways.
So it's not a rural versus a country divide on who likes and who doesn't like foxes.
I don't know that it is, because lots of rural people like foxes. Lots of rural people don't come across a fox from one end of the year to the next. You're probably far more likely to run into a fox in an urban setting because they're at higher densities, because they're that little bit less wary of human interaction. So no, I don't think it's an urban-rural divide. In fact, some recent research suggests there is a male-female divide, when that female respondents were more likely to react positively towards foxes, whereas men were less positive or more ambiguous.
That's very interesting.
I'm not sure what the actual explanation is. It was in London, actually. It was their survey of London residents to get their reactions on what they thought of London's urban foxes, and that's what they found. So I don't think the differences were massive, but they were significant.
Well, one man bucks that trend. Let's leave the last word to farmer Patsy Gibbons from County Kilkenny.
I don't know, you have to like him. The people in Ireland hate them. But you have to like animals. And I see it and like it and think about it. The people that hate foxes don't like anything anyway. You know, they'll be cruel to animals, they'll be cruel to people. I always believe that, like, you know. But sure, you know, if life goes on, it takes all kinds to make a world, that's the way it is, like, you know, and like you got the pleasure there of seeing four foxes this evening. Like, you might never see it again in your life, you know. Where would you see it, you know?
Thank you very much indeed, Terry Flanagan. More details can be found, as always, on our website, rte.ie/Mooney. Until next week, goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.